Everywhere across this land tomorrow, people will be remembering those who gave their lives for the freedom that we enjoy and very often take for granted. They gave their lives in defense of freedom. We call this Memorial Day, but as I told the children, it was originally Decoration Day. And that was because of all the deaths that occurred in the war between the states. Up until that time, that had been the most number of people that had died in war in this country. Now, since then, there have been greater wars, especially World War II, where more lives were lost in the whole world than ever before. It's important that we remember their sacrifice. Because their sacrifice, again, as I told the children, it emulates the sacrifice of our Lord. He said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down their life for their friends. It's important that we remember this. Because in these times that we live in, there are forces of evil that are trying to take away the freedom that they fought and died for. And we may not think that we can sit on our hands and allow that to happen as God's people, because freedom comes from God, and we'll get into that. The federal government designated this a federal holiday in 1971 and changed the name from Decoration Day to Memorial Day at that time. There's a lot of story there, and part of what happened was they made it a three-day weekend, and so now it became more of a holiday than a day of remembrance. And so many have forgotten what this time was really about. They've lost the history of it. They've lost the idea of remembering those who gave their lives. And you'll hear people say, oh, I celebrate our veterans today. It's not about the veterans. Yes, there are people who served. And yes, we do remember them, and we do give honor to Almighty God for their lives and the time that they gave in service, but it's not about them. It's about the ones who have died. That's what it's about. That's what it was originally about, and it has never been changed officially, if you will. Many Americans observe Memorial Day by visiting cemeteries. It used to be here in this town. People would start at this cemetery, and they'd walk over to the one at Hemp Hill Cemetery. They'd decorate the graves at both, and they'd walk back the next year the other way, and so on and so forth. That was how the original parade started in this area. This year, there is no parade. Not going to get into that yet. Due to the hysteria over health concerns, a lot of parades and celebrations have been canceled or minimized this year. I think that's a disgrace. I think it's a disgrace to the very people who fought and died for our freedom. It's a desecration of their memory. And I understand all the arguments for it. I hope that people don't see this and say, oh, we got to tell him he's wrong. I don't want all that mess. I know the truth. The truth sets me free. Our political system is founded in our belief that the individual man or woman has rights by God. They're from Almighty God. They're not from man. They're not from government. They are from Almighty God. Nobody and no government may violate those rights. None. This is one of the self-evident truths that are expressed in the Declaration of Independence. The preamble to which goes like this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women, implied there, all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Declaration of Independence continues to inspire people all over the world to fight for and die for freedom. Everywhere. In a letter dated April 6, 1859, Abraham Lincoln wrote, "It," speaking of the Declaration of Independence, "it shall be a rebuke and a stumbling block to the very harbingers of reappearing tyranny and oppression." That includes this day that we live in. Okay? He knew This man knew, just like those who formed that declaration in the beginning, when that happened, they understood freedom was not free and that it would always be assaulted. And one of the reasons that freedom is assaulted is because freedom has given us the ability to get the Word of God out there and to spread the gospel. Without freedom, we wouldn't have been able to do that. Without freedom, we wouldn't have Bibles. Without freedom, we wouldn't be able to speak the Word of God. And we as God's people need to stand for that. We need to stand upon those firm truths, self-evident truths, that we are, in fact, the protectors of that freedom. Whether we like it or not, we are. If we're God's people, it's important, folks. Independence here is provided freedom to worship our Creator according to dictates and the conscience of our conscience and our heart. And it has also provided freedom to not worship God for those who choose not to. There's no state that's going to say you must when once there was. When the state and the religion were one, there was a state religion and they forced you to worship the way that they said to worship. Our Creator made it possible through the freedom in this land to further the message of the gospel than ever before in the history of mankind. The freedom that we enjoy has brought prosperity because people were free to produce. They were free to work. They were free to labor. They were free to use what they had produced to do things such as print Bibles and get them into the hands of other people. They were free to travel, to share the gospel. They were free to do the things that Almighty God had called them to do. It's authored, the Declaration of Independence was authored by Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Roger Sherman, and Robert R. Livingston, on July 4th, 1776. We have another holiday for that. We call it Independence Day. Well, many just call it July 4th or the 4th of July now. Thomas Jefferson was influenced by the Virginia Declaration of Rights. As he wrote the first part of the Declaration of Independence, that part that I read to you. Later, that Virginia Declaration of Rights provided the foundation for the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights that guarantees us the freedom to assemble. The Bill of Rights that guarantees us, it protects our right to travel. It protects our right to a livelihood. It protects our right to say and to believe what we believe. George Mason was the author of the Virginia Declaration of Rights. And it was adopted by the Virginia Constitutional Convention on June 12, 1776. That's a long time, folks. And I know some of you might be thinking, well, what's this have to do with believers? What's this have to do with those who believe in the one we call Jesus? Why is it important? Many claim it's not. Many say it has nothing to do with believers. But actually it does. And we'll see that as we go forward. But I want us to open our Bibles to the 4th chapter of Luke's gospel record. But before we go on, I want us to pray. If you will, bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, dear God, please reach inside of us to tear down any and all man-made doctrine and traditions. Open our minds, Father. Please awaken in us the truth of your word. Please pour your spirit out upon us and empower us by your Holy Spirit to be who you made us to be at this very time. Help us to love you completely. Help us to love others as ourselves. Knit us together in unity as your word instructs and help us to be your family that meets in this building, I pray. Please, Lord, bless each one within the sound of my voice and pour out your Spirit, Father, that your words would be seated deep within their hearts. Help us remain engaged in your work as we see the day of Christ's return coming. We are blessed to gather here, praise and worship you. Open the eyes of our understanding, Father. Please wipe out all distractions and grant to your servant that with all boldness I may speak your word through the name of your holy servant, Yeshua, our Messiah. And all of God's people said, Amen. Let's start reading from the fourth chapter of Luke's gospel record, beginning at verse 16. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. You'll find that on page 1586 in those Bibles in the seats there. Luke chapter 4. Beginning at verse 16. And this tells of a time when Yeshua came to Nazareth, his hometown. And he read from the book of Isaiah. If everybody's there, we'll get started. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Pray that God would add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. Is this not Joseph's son? Where did he get this wisdom? It was the way that he proclaimed it, with conviction. He proclaimed it with authority. He proclaimed it with power, the power of God. He read the words of the prophet Isaiah, and then he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He was referring to, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives," or the oppressed, "recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." You know, when this country was founded, the people who founded this nation used this text to guide them because they were under a great weight of oppression from the English king. And they said, "No more, no more oppression." And they fought for liberty. And this was one of the texts that they used to guide them. Whether anybody admits that or not or accepts it doesn't matter because it's true. That's what they, one of the texts, not the only, there were others, but it was one of them. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. That sparked the American Revolution. If those people had been in this land now, with all this stuff that's gone on in the last couple of months, you better believe there'd have been a war. They wouldn't have put up with it. Let me me look at the words there in that passage that he was referring to. The Greek word that's translated gospel, it means to announce good news, to evangelize. To evangelize. To evangelize. To share the good news. This is one of the benefits of freedom. We can evangelize. We can share the good news. Whether people accept it or not is another thing. We can do that because we have the freedom to do so. It means to declare, to bring good tidings, to preach the gospel. This is part of the meaning of that word liberty. Or excuse me, gospel. The Greek word that's translated liberty there means freedom. Figuratively, it means to pardon, deliverance, forgiveness. And then if you go back to Isaiah's writing of it, in the Hebrew, it means to move freely, to flow rapidly. And you see, that's what's happened over the last 200 years with the gospel. We had 1,800 years, 1,776 years before that proclamation, and the gospel didn't go near as far as it has since then. It has flowed freely, rapidly. That Greek word gives us an insight into why it's so important to stand for freedom. And what are we free from? Well, the first thing, the very first thing that we're free from is part of the gospel. We're freed from sin. We're freed from that sin, that sin prison that we were put in. We're free from Hasatan, Satan. We've been liberated from that bondage and that oppression that he had brought upon this planet. Freedom from sin and captivity. But the idea of freedom extends beyond that, as we'll see as we continue. The English word liberty is defined as the state of being exempt from the domination of others or from restricting circumstances. It means freedom. The English word liberty is the state of being exempt from the domination of others or from restricting circumstances. Think about that, folks, in comparison to what's just happened in the last few months. It's also defined as the possession and exercise of the right of self-government. We govern in this land by our representatives. That's self-government. Okay? That's where we are. At least until it's no longer that way. The power of voluntary choice and unconfined. How many of you felt that you had a voluntary choice to travel freely in the last couple of months? How many of you felt like you had a voluntary choice to worship Almighty God by the dictates of your heart by His Word? How many of you felt that way? Freedom. Liberty. Whenever we look at individual liberty, we find it's defined as freedom from restraint in the performance of rights outside of government control. The people that we remember tomorrow, they fought and they died defending that. I take it seriously. Liberty, it goes on, I'm talking from the New International Dictionary, copyright 1971. Since we're being recorded, I've got to at least state that. Liberty keeps strictly to the thought of being clear from restraint or compulsion. Liberty is a relative term. Freedom is absolute. I'm not going to go into all that because it could take an hour talking about the difference between the relativity of liberty versus the absoluteness of freedom. The Black's Law Dictionary, 4th edition, has more than 2 pages of texts defining liberty. I'm just going to share a few ideas because it's related to the scriptural text that we started with and also current events. Religious liberty, it goes on in Black's Law Dictionary, 4th edition, says religious liberty is freedom from... Has anybody felt dictated to lately? Freedom from dictation. Freedom from constraint. Freedom from control in matters affecting conscience, religious beliefs and the practice of religion. Do you see why I did not lock the doors here? We're going to be free by Almighty God. Freedom. That's what religious liberty is. The word liberty includes and comprehends, this is another part of the definition out of those two pages, freedom. Excuse me. The word liberty includes and comprehends all personal rights and their enjoyment. Now, after each one of these little snippets in the law dictionary, they give you a court case. They cite the court case, okay? I'm not going to give you the citations because that would just be confusion. But if anybody wants those, I can share it with you. I'll make a copy of the page and you can read it. Freedom from servitude. Freedom from imprisonment. Freedom from restraint. Freedom from imprisonment. How many people thought that they were imprisoned in their own homes? How many people felt that they were restrained in their own homes? I see hands. There was a citation to that. Also, all of these things that I'm reading have a separate citation beside them where court cases stated these things that were already known, okay? These are things that were already understood whenever the Declaration of Independence was written. Whenever the people who lived their lives and died defending freedom, they knew what this meant. We've lost it because it's not being taught to us. And so I feel compelled by Almighty God and His Spirit to at least give you some little bit of it, because if you don't have it, you need to have it. You need to understand why I'm so compassionate about this. You need to understand why you need to be compassionate about it. Because there are people that are trying to steal your freedom, and the whole reason is to get rid of the gospel. Freedom. In enjoyment and use of one's powers, faculties, and property. Your power to do whatever it is that is right by God. You have the freedom to do. That's what liberty means. Religious liberty and just plain liberty. Freedom of assembly. How many of you were locked out of houses of worship? I can't raise my hand on that one. There were people that maybe you weren't locked out, but the doors weren't welcoming you. Freedom of movement. The Pennsylvania Superior Court said that. The right to acquire useful knowledge is also part of the definition. Now think about that for a moment. Religious freedom gives you the right. You have the right to acquire useful knowledge. Okay? This is the most useful knowledge that you can find in the world. And you have the right to acquire it. You have the right to proclaim it. You have the right to share it, whether in writing or in speaking. You have those rights that are inherent by Almighty God. No man can interfere with those rights. No man can interfere. No woman can interfere with those rights. And no man that thinks he's a woman can interfere with those rights. It's the truth. This is the truth of Almighty God's Word. With regard to employment and business, the definition in Black's Law Dictionary goes on. With regard to employment and business, the right to carry on business is a part of liberty. The right to earn a livelihood is a part of liberty. The right to engage in lawful business is a part of liberty. And the right to fix the hours when one's place of business shall be kept open is determined by the courts to be a part of liberty. The people that we remember tomorrow fought for liberty. These ideas are all contained within the word liberty. And those are, as I said, defined by court cases throughout this land. Now, our Lord came to liberate the people of this world from the bondage that sin had formed with the enemy of souls. It was a contract. See, we had all contracted with the enemy, but we didn't know because it was an implied contract. It was an adhesion contract. We were placed into bondage by sin. And we didn't know it. We didn't realize it. And some people, it's too late. They've given their souls away. But He came to liberate people. He came to free us from bondage. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son or a child abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Indeed! Absolutely! I've used the example of a jail cell, and he opened the gate and let you out. Who would want to go back in there willingly and then shut the gate behind them? Not me. I want freedom. I want liberty. I want to be outside of His realm. I want to be in my Father's realm. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, it's written, "No one can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon." And there he's referring to money, but it applies to everything. You can't, nobody could say, "Well, I can have this," because he didn't say that specifically. And there are so many that are locked up in things like religion, for example. We have so many that are locked up in religion that they can't see the freedom that God provides. They can't see it. Because they've locked themselves in that prison of religion. And this is why we have freedom. From and to practice religion. We're free from the bondage of religion, and yet we're free to practice it at the same time. We can practice the faith of Christ. No one can serve two masters. We can't serve God and anything else. Nothing else. We can't have two masters. In Romans chapter 6, it's written, "Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." You were delivered from evil. We pray it. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Deliver us from evil. Resist the devil and he will flee." Don't you know? When you present yourself slaves to obey, it's written in Romans chapter 6, you are their slave. Galatians chapter 4 tells us, "Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son." And the meaning there's a child. You're an heir of God through Christ. You're a child of the King. Can we give God a praise? You're a child of the King! You're no longer in bondage. You're not in bondage to anything or anyone. You are free. He has set you free. He came to set the captives free. And you know who he was talking to at that time? He was talking to the religious leaders. You have to remember that there is one sin that's unforgivable. He said so. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31, we hear, "Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men." And that'd be great if we heard that, right? We just stop right there, cut off the rest of the sentence. But no, it doesn't stop there. It says, "But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven." And why did he tell them this? Why did he say this? Why? I have to ask myself. When I read the Word, I say, well, why did he do that? Okay, well, when you read the whole text, you see the Pharisees accuse him of casting out demons by Beelzebub. The ruler of the demons. That's in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24. And this wasn't the first time. In Matthew chapter 9, we learned that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the most religious of that time, they were the highly religious ones. They were the ones that ran the show. And nobody was going to come in except for them. They were going to run everybody off if they had to, because he was not going to tell them what to do. They were going to tell him what to do. And he said, no. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 34. The Pharisee said, he casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. And he said, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. The religious leaders had strayed from walking the way of life. And remember, the title of this series of messages is Walk This Way, His Way, The Way of Life. They believed they had it all right, but they didn't. They didn't have it right, folks. And he tried as lovingly as he could to show them that they had it wrong. But they wouldn't have it. They wouldn't accept it. They were highly educated. They were caged by doctrines and traditions of men, and they enslaved others with the same. That's what he says. It's exactly what he says. I'm not going to bring all those texts in. If you want to look it up, we'll sit down together and we'll look it up. He came to set them and everyone else free from sin. That's what he said. He came to set men free. In other words, man, Adam, all. They rejected the clear evidence of his ability to heal. They wanted nothing to do with him. They wanted nothing to do with his teaching on truth, liberty, deliverance, and spiritual freedom. They wanted nothing to do with it. They wanted to reject him, and they did. They blasphemed the Holy Spirit by accusing him of operating in Satan's power and not Almighty God's. And still, he died for them. That's the great love that he carried for humankind. Our Lord said, greater love has no one than this, and to lay down his life for his friends. He gave his earthly life for everyone, not just his friends. He gave his life for his enemies. He died to set mankind free, to liberate us from the sin that had caused that bondage. Every sin, including that which comes in the form of false religious bondage, the bondage to religion. We have to be so careful of that, folks. It's so important that we break free from all bondage. And he's the one that liberates. No matter what we think, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 is where we hear where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Leviticus 25 and 10 instructs, proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all the inhabitants thereof. And those who founded this nation quoted those texts. They understood them. And they used them in their quest for freedom. Now, there are those who would say they did the wrong thing. They were rebellious, and rebellion's the sin of witchcraft and all this other stuff. I've heard all the arguments, folks, because this isn't the first time I've delivered a message similar to this. This isn't the first time that I've shared that what they did was right. It was right by Almighty God, because he's the one that raises up kings. He's the one that makes princes. He's the one that tears down kingdoms. He says so in his word. He gave his earthly life for everyone. Those who gave their lives in service to this nation did so for the freedom that they believed in. Freedom in this land did more to fulfill the mission of Messiah than anything ever had before. Ever! Nothing! And how did it do that? Because it provided the resources. It provided the resources to get the gospel out. Fighting against liberty and freedom is an indirect assault on the gospel. Because it is by freedom that we're able to present the gospel to the ends of the earth, to the whole world, as he said to do. Take and teach them everything I taught you, not just the parts that feel good. Take and teach everything. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Those that gave their lives in service to this nation, the ones that we remember tomorrow, Whether they knew it or not, they were helping to further the gospel by keeping us free. Defending freedom is not only an ideal of those who have started these United States and those who defended these United States, but it's also a godly ideal. It's one that as people are called to a duty to protect, to defend, just as much as those who have defended their lives and given their lives in defense of it. Without freedom to produce more and also give away more, you know, our country is the country that has given away more than anybody ever in history of the world. We have helped more poor. The Lord said, you'll always have poor with you. And we've done more to help the poor than anyone else. And as we help the poor, the gospel. And if it weren't for that, there'd be a lot more deaf ears. The good news wouldn't have spread as far and wide as it has without freedom. Wealth produced by freedom blessed the poor everywhere, all across the earth. The one we call Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, He came to liberate, not to bind. His message was not one that binds people. His message was one that frees people. He gave His life as a sacrifice for sin. He came to free us to enter close, interpersonal relationship with our Creator. And how do we do that? Through His Spirit. He fills us with His Spirit to do what it is that He wants for us to do. He wants us to do it in order. We must be in order. There's no doubt about that. We must follow the biblical guidelines for everything we do. It must be orderly. But that doesn't mean we have to be religiously dogmatic about every little jot and tittle, because then it becomes legalism. So there's this balancing line where we're always trying to fit in where He wants us to be on His way. In that close interpersonal relationship with His Spirit as our guide, I believe we can do that. He gave His life for us, whether we were His friends or not. In fact, at the time, we were His enemies, because the Scripture tells us He came and died even while we were still sinners. He made the narrow way clear. He illuminated it with His life. He illuminated it with His sacrifice. He illuminated it with His death. It's His way that we're to walk through this life to the next. Not our way. Not somebody else's way. And not religion's way. As I wrap this up, I want you to remember that those that founded this nation knew, they absolutely knew, that freedom from government oppression was the only way to have free expression of faith. They knew it. They stated it. They made it clear. Many people have come, they've lived, and they've died defending that freedom that we all enjoy. We better not lay down on the job, folks. Because our children and our grandchildren are counting on us. Those that we remember tomorrow gave their lives defending freedom. They died protecting what each of us has enjoyed all of our lives. And none of us is without blame if we ignore their sacrifice. None of us. I want you all to read and learn the documents that guard freedom. If you can't find it, you come to me and I'll get you a copy. I'll get you a copy of the Constitution for these United States of America. I'll get you a copy of the Constitution for this Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And you read what they say. And then you'll understand why I refuse to lock the doors here. These documents were inspired by biblical principles, including those of liberty and freedom. And this is why I had to give you the definitions, so that you comprehend what they were thinking whenever they did what they did. And some call them rebels. They call them rebellious. And as you celebrate tomorrow, I want each of you to thank God that we still have the right to assemble to worship Him freely. I want you to thank Him that we can do as our leader, our Messiah, who brought freedom, to walk His way. I want you to thank God that He sent Messiah to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And I want you to thank Him that our political freedom and our spiritual freedom are gifts of God through Him. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for my brothers and sisters who are walking in that freedom that You provide. I thank You, Father, that we can assemble to worship, that we can travel, that we can speak, that we can write, that we can do all of these things, not because they're protected by some piece of paper or some document, but because You gave us those rights. Help us to remember, Lord, that we are not to bow down and worship any other. We are to worship none other but You, Almighty God. As we celebrate what we call Memorial Day, let us remember the great sacrifice of that One who gave His life that we could live free from sin and the captivity of the enemy of souls. And I pray this all in Christ's name, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Well, do we want to receive an offering? Does anybody want to? We could receive an offering if y'all want. Praise God. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, guide us in our giving today, that it would be sufficient to meet the needs here and beyond. We trust, Lord, that everything that You provide is multiplied as we give it away. We see that in the food distributions we've had here, Father. We can never outgive You. And so, God, just guide us in our giving, please. We know, Lord, that we support missions that go out into the world where we can't go. Help us to support them, Lord, to Your glory. Help us to cover the expenses of this building that we can continue to assemble and worship. And Lord, build us as we build Your kingdom by Your Spirit. Because there is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one Spirit, Your Spirit, Lord.
Yes.
May we all operate in unity as Your body that meets in this building, I pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You kids were so well behaved today. You were so well behaved today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate you being well behaved. You know that, guys? I really do. I really do. It makes it easier for me to preach whenever all the children are paying attention and listening and you're learning God's Word. Isn't that something? You're with the big people, huh?
Yeah.
Father, we thank You for the tithes and the offerings that have come forth. And we ask, Lord, that You bless both the gifts and the givers, that they be sufficient to meet the needs here and beyond. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.